Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Today we're going to embark on our journey in, Psalm 119. Wow. And that's a big one for all of us, but I'll tell you what, we're going to take it in manageable size pieces. But we'll read a little bit today, and it'll kind of launch us on our journey, and you'll find the responding verses on the screen in front of you. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes.
Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments.
I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments.
I will keep your statutes, oh, do not forsake me utterly.
How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. O Lord, I have hidden your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Just have eight more verses. Deal bountifully in your servant, and that I may live and keep your word.
Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from
your law. I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me.
My soul prays with longing for your judgments at all times.
You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. 24 together. Your testimonies are delight in my house. Lift your hands with me as we pray. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let your word permeate everything in us and find its way to our hearts to lodge there forever. Lord, I pray that today that it will be a transforming day for many people that are here today. It will also restore people who have fallen away from you. Lord, we just trust you to do these things because we ask all these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. Wow. What a day. I had to pick something because we'll be going through so many different things that the word speaks of. But today I want to talk to you about seeking the Lord with your whole heart. Because that's easy to say, but it's not easy to do. Consider this. Phrases like change of heart, or my heart's really not into it, or heartbroken need very little description as to what you're really trying to say to folks. The Lord has always desired that we engage in a relationship with him with our whole heart and not leave any part of ourselves outside the boundary of his grace and his mercy. The word of the Lord will find its lodging place only in the hearts of those who are completely surrendered and given total access to the Holy Spirit to complete heart transformation. Before we leave this auditorium, that's where some of you are going to go. It's going to be a change of heart. Not a change of mind, but a change of heart. Intellectually, you'll comprehend it, but your heart, you have to transfer that information to your heart that there'll be a real change. First thing I want to ask you about is, have you discovered issues or problems in that would cause you to harden your heart? I believe we're living in a hard-hearted generation because I just can't believe the crimes and the things that people have done. I don't even want to talk about the crimes, but you think, how could a person be so hard-hearted or just be able to do that to a child or to an adult or whatever it happens to be? I won't get into the issues. Let me move on to number two real quickly. How do you navigate issues to resolve the things that have resulted in you suffering from a divided heart? You know, Paul the Apostle had the same thing. He said, the things I would to do, I do not. And the things I would not to do, I end up doing. So it ain't no new thing. But I believe there's a place that God's going to take us to today that will bring us to that to dispose of that divided heart. Third thing is this. What intuitive indicator do you rely upon to determine that your whole heart is totally engaged in the things of God? How do you know? And I want to tell you a number of things we'll talk about today. I'll tell you when it's not. But I want to emphasize on how you really know. Well, in our journey, Psalm 119, verse 9 says, the word of God will cleanse our hearts. It says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. There is nothing you can do or say that will cleanse you. Only the word of God can cleanse you. Because the word of God has to have the access and be the final authority over everything that happens in your life. I know people go to all types of different courses to try to do this and try to do that and try to manipulate yourself scientifically in whatever types of ways. But let's look at it from this standpoint. The word of God is a guide to walk in the ways of the Lord blamelessly, which simply means this. The word of God empowers us to be free from iniquity. Now, iniquity is an interesting word. Because iniquity, I guess a better word to give you that will help you with that, is propensity. That you know when you get in a certain environment, you tell yourself, well, I'm not going to do that. But next thing you know, there you are. It's like a person with a gambling problem that goes into a casino. First of all, I want to ask you, why did you go? Because you know what happened the last time you went. You went in full and came out empty. If you've got a propensity toward iniquity, you need to stay away from it. I'm not going to get stuck on this particular place, and I could preach this for the whole sermon. Next thing is the word of God gains access to our hearts through our conscience. The Bible says if our conscience offends us or condemns us, our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And some of you, unfortunately, right now are sitting under the auspices of what I'm saying, and already conviction or your conscience is saying, yeah, shouldn't have done that last night. Yeah, should have. And the devil's trying to take you off on a rabbit trail. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you the way out. He's going to try to keep you captured to where you are. What about this? The convictions of the Spirit come directly from reading and meditating on the Word of God. The Word of God brings conviction, not condemnation. Some of you stay away from the Bible. Well, I don't read the Bible. The Bible's just going to tell me everything I've done wrong. No, it's going to tell you how to get right. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to God's word. If you've got some things, God will help you get it right. So that's an amazing thing. Well, the way of blessing is to walk in the word, which means that the word will direct our steps toward all that is right. There is nothing in the Bible that will take you away from what is right, but will put you in the presence of the one who is always right. The word, the living word of Jesus Christ and all the things he said to us. Meaning this, that we choose to continue walking and seeking and doing the things that are in alignment with God's word. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to God's word. But I tell you, here's an issue. We must choose to do this with diligence. And here's a word, integrity. Integrity is a real piercing word because it goes to the fiber of your being as to the why of the way you are. Some of you are, you know, very well behaved because you remember all of the things that were kind of driven into you as a child. And, you know, this mama said not to do this and daddy said not to do this. And so that's really the thing that keeps you on a given path. But it's not integrity according to the word of God. And it has certain limitations. But we're going to expose some of those things in just a few moments because the way of walking in the blessing is in the word is, the Lord will direct our steps to all that is right. He will, we must choose to walk, continue walking, seeking, and doing the things that are in alignment with the word. And here's the other thing. We must do this with diligence and with integrity. Now, here's the thing. You'll find out through, as we go through Psalm 119, there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. As you go through Psalm 119, there in each one of these is part of the alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet. And it takes them in there are eight verses. Then you go to the next eight verses, the next eight verses, the next eight verses. We did 24 of them today. Well, the idea behind this, I want to tell you of there's something that puts all of this together and it will help you to understand not only Psalms, but the rest of the Bible. This is going to be the key to the rest of the Bible. You said, what? Let's look at it. There are eight words in Psalms to help us understand how to apply the word to our lives. The first one is the word instruction. Every man, raise your hand right now. All of you that always heeded the instructions, leave it up. We don't like folks telling us what to do. We got a brain. We are mechanically inclined. And we are naturally stupid. But let me tell you what instruction means. Instruction in the Bible says, Torah is the verb for teachings or directions from God, usually from the first five books of the Bible. The first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. And it was Moses, they were delivered from Moses, and they're bring to the children of Israel into alignment. And I'll tell you why. Because they were stupid. You have to give them, you have to tell them, don't do this, don't do that. No, this is not going to be healthy for you. No, I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. But if you are one of the people that does not like instructions, you're going to have a tough time. But as you read through Psalms, you're going to find the word instructions. Move on to the next one. Testimonies. Testimony is the word edoth, things that bear witness of the faithfulness of God and those who break faith with God. Two ways. How many of you are witnesses of God's faithfulness? Okay. How many of you are witnesses of God's faithfulness to chastise you when you're unfaithful? The door swings both ways. Didn't I tell you not to? You know what I'm talking about. Needs no more emphasis. I won't get stuck there. Moving on. Number three. Precepts. Perquitum. Words spoken by one who is in authority. All my dad had to do was say it. We're done. There was an idea of questioning it. I want the garage clean when I get home. We had already knew the definition of clean. But see, our thing, what we do is we try to define, I don't know what he's talking about. Clean? Does that mean swept? Does it mean all of the things put in order? Really? Let me move on. Statutes. Chukwim, which means the binding force and permanence of what is spoken. Now, this is an interesting concept, too, because you find out in the law, there are some things that have a limitation. You know the statute of limitations? You know about that? It's only in place for a certain amount of time, and then, you know, the statute is passed, and so it's over with. It's done. But don't apply that randomly to the Word of God. Statutes are those things put up for you to realize to protect you in this particular realm. It's a statute that you can look to that will say, oh, that's right. God put this in place to protect me, not to harm me. Wow. That's pretty amazing. How about this? Commandments. It's called mitzvot, the authority of the Lord to give orders and expect obedience. Here's what the Lord does. He says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. That's pretty good. But what the Lord said, would command, make a commandment to us. He says, if you follow these words, you'll be successful. So the commandment is a commandment, but there are benefits to heeding the commandments of the Lord. A couple other things, and then we'll move on quickly, but because we're going to come to a conclusion of how this all fits together. The idea behind it is that God is using all of these things to bring our hearts and our minds into alignment with by the Holy Spirit. So the deal being this is a thing called judgments. Mishpatim. Decisions or rulings of God, the final judge. Now watch this. We judge as God judges in order to make the same right decisions. Oh. Your judgment should never be independent from God's judgment. Oh, it doesn't apply to me. God wants me to be happy. That was then, because he knows that I have a propensity toward those type of things, and God doesn't want me to be miserable. I know you folks do that, but you know, I just got an exception. God gave me an exception. You are silly. You're ridiculous. And you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You know, but you know how God keeps this under that particular umbrella? It's a word that every single one of us should pray that we have more of. And it's called discernment. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Is that the word of God? Amen. It seems right, but you know it ain't right. And so you need to have discernment, even though you say, oh, this is it's like a good deal. Any car salesman here? I'm going to be quiet then. No, I can say this. My brother was a car dealer for a number of years. He's a really super guy. But he was realistic. I remember one time a fellow came in to buy a car from him. He says, I'm going to do you a favor. He says, you can't afford this car. He said, what? You don't make enough money. He says, oh, I can get you a loan for 29% interest. And you can drive this car off the lot today. He says, but you don't need this car. He feels, oh, man, I want a car. On the bottom of my brother's card is a little, in italic, it says, I sell driveway dressing. It's on his card. And usually you buy a car not because you necessarily like it that well, but you want your neighbors to know what you got. Can I get an amen? Can the church say amen? Amen. Yeah. Let me move on. Word, debar, used by the prophets in the expression of the word of the Lord. Ooh, look at this one. Many times we don't go into the prophetic realm, but once you use the word of the Lord, either God said it or he didn't. Amen. Well, he kind of meant that. No. I'll touch on that in my later sermons. The last one is promise. Imra. Something that can be counted on that you don't have to worry about. I don't want you to raise your hands on this one because I know everyone has suffered from this at one time or another. Suffered from a broken promise. It could have been something as, you know, someone forgot a particular appointment with you and they left you there stranded, high and dry. Or someone broke the promise of their marriage to you and they left you. You say, well, that's a real extreme between the two. But I want to tell you that the Word of God, when God makes a promise, he'll keep it. Our problem is we have a timetable that doesn't always mesh with his timetable. And some of us quit too soon because we get our emotions mixed up with God's promise. A man called Abraham got a promise from God early on in his relationship with him. And God said, you know, from you many nations are going to happen. And of course, he tried to fulfill the promise. I'm not going to get all the details. But all of a sudden, it comes forth that God says, okay, you're going to become a daddy now. Who wants to become a daddy at 100? I mean, I became a dad again at 40 when I adopted some kids from Romania. That was one of the best decisions I've ever made, but you know what? I didn't struggle with it, but I'll tell you what, if God brought that up to me today at 72, Jesus. Misdialed, picked up the wrong phone. No, I'm just enjoying myself. But God wants to install some promises and reconfirm promises in your life. Well, these eight words are used throughout the Psalms interchangeably. So if you don't have a list of these particular words, I think they put it on the particular handout today. If they didn't put it on there, just let me know. And as you read through the Bible, you can insert, when it says the word any other time, you can put the word promise, you can put judge, you can put, it's interchangeable. Because the word is valid for all those situations. Well, what about this? Their response to the word of covenant and the fact that he will be your God. These are the words that will create and sustain relationship with God. And keeping these words and commandments is to live in the fear of God. Now, let me just approach the fear of God just for a moment. We're not talking about the terror of God. We're not talking about how we felt when we were kids. When we hear my dad's pickup pull into the driveway, terror, we go, we think of everything we have done wrong or could have done wrong. Room clean, this type of thing. Oh, it's over. Maybe you didn't live like that, but no, we're not talking about that. Well, let's move into this area. The word must be hidden in our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That is a profound scripture, but it's difficult in some ways for some people to understand. Because it doesn't mean that we've packed it away where we can't get to it. But if we've hidden it in our heart, we need to unpack that to a place where it becomes not only practical to us, but for us to understand. So we must learn the difference between doing things with our whole heart and monitoring our behavior. And unfortunately, many of us are just monitoring our behavior, using the Bible to do it, rather than having the Word of God living in us and God works through us. Because you go through the checklist, and just go through the checklist, can I do this? And that is a terrible way to live. Cultivating discipline and coping techniques does not speak about the condition of your heart. What does that mean? Some of us, if I could give you a word that I created it, some of us go on a sin diet. I'm not going to do that no more. I'm going to stop doing that. That's not good for me. We go on a sin diet. But all of a sudden, we go binging. Because we've been good for 4 or 5 months. God's going to give me a pass on this. It worked really well for a period of time, but all of a sudden, it's no longer in place. Do you know why? Because the word never got the lodging place to take us away from the propensity to want to go there. Let me help you with that, because the word of God, of the Lord, we need to, accessing our spirit is the only thing that can bring real and permanent change. Let me marinate that for a moment. I'll get to habits in just a minute. But he says, the word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It means it is taking the place of the core area of my life that oftentimes, more than often, leads me into sin. And a lot of times we get involved in sin. You know what perpetuates that? Loneliness. And I'm not talking about just single folks. I'm talking about married folks. Just because you're married does not mean you cannot be lonely. You can be sitting in the room with that beloved person that you've been with for 10, 20, 30, 40 years and still be lonely, because the enemy will look to you and present you, say, you know, you really want to be somewhere else. You've tried to make it work and he doesn't understand you. She doesn't understand you. You just need to just take a look and see what's out there. Our attitude sets the direction of our heart. Our attitude is dictated by our will and our emotions. I ask you a question right now. How is your attitude right now? Why do you want to ask me about my attitude? Because that's what's driving many of us today. You wake up in the morning and say, this is the day, that the Lord hath made. And other days, oh my God, how am I going to make it through today? Dear Jesus, help me, Lord Jesus. Your attitude. And some people use these little flowery phrases. And have an attitude of gratitude. Oh, shut up. Shut up. See, some of you try to suffer from the Pollyanna syndrome. I'm just glad about everything. I'm glad that my bills are overdue. I'm glad my car didn't start. I'm glad I got a flat tire. I'm glad I'm in the freeway stuck in traffic. I'm just so glad about it. You are crazy. You've got issues. I want to go deeper than that. Let me help you for a moment. We need the Word of God to define the direction which will allow our heart to go. Furthermore, habits greatly influence the direction of our heart. Will take us, and it means that our habits will control the condition of our hearts. How? Well, let me show you. Listen to me carefully. It's on the screen now. The very first thing that gets our attention every day will set our heart in motion and set our priorities for the day. I don't believe that. You're crazy. And unfortunately, and please don't take, well, I don't care if you get offended or not. I really don't care. The first thing that sets your heart on fire is the demon of coffee. And once I get my coffee, I can think. And some of you believe that's really okay. And I'm here to tell you in the name of Jesus, that is not okay. Because if you are driven by caffeine, you need deliverance today. Because that means if the coffee pot wasn't there, if Starbucks wasn't open, you couldn't exist. And believe me, it's not against the coffee, really, it's not. It's just your attitude that you've given that first place in your life. Whatever you give first place will dominate your life. You gave it. Are you marinating? Good. Okay. When we allow, what we allow to capture our thoughts will control the direction our heart goes. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, I need to tell you that the enemy is pretty good at switching his thoughts for your thoughts. But I'll tell you how he does it. If you're not into the Word of God, you will accept the false representation of the Word of God with the words of the enemy. I remember showing this illustration many years ago. I haven't used it for a couple of years. Maybe you didn't hear it. The way that the federal government trains people to deal with counterfeit. There's counterfeiters nowadays that get better and better and better and better and better and better. But the way they teach people to deal with counterfeit, they put them, and it's a 30-day process, they put them in a room and they give them usually $100 bills, usually the heavier 50s, $100 bills. And the only thing they do for 8 hours a day is just handle real money. All day long. Exchanging money. And then their final exam is they'll go into a particular room, they'll give them money, some of it's counterfeit, some of it's not. And the fact of the matter is that these people have been trained handling the real stuff all along, it's usually between 90 and 95% of the time they'll be able to catch a counterfeit bill as it goes through their fingers. You know why? Because they learned how to handle it. But you got to learn how to handle what's real first. You spend too much time with counterfeit. Let that marinate, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's interesting, Sister Pat brought up this idea. She didn't know what I was preaching, that I was going to use this particular thought. But listen to this. Hate is the most powerful motivation to change. Now somebody says, I hate my job. You've been saying that for 10 years. And you're still there. You may hate your job, but you don't hate that paycheck. And you're willing to suffer as long as it takes, long as it's in the box or they make that deposit. Like, I'll make it through. You don't hate it enough. Unless hate provokes change, it'll do you no good. Well, let me help you with this. It's the most powerful motivation. Our heart must be allowed to hate the things that will keep you from being fed by the Word of God. Let's stop right here. The first thing is, well, I just don't have time to read the Word of God. Really? Look at me. That's a lie. You find time to do all kinds of different things. Why don't you just be honest and say, you know, I don't really want to read the Word of God, and I'm okay with that. But you give me this idea you don't have time to read the Word of God, that is a fair ID lie. Boy, that was harsh. But it's true. We must take serious action toward the things that would keep our heart from being wholly committed to the Word of God. Before we can make change, we must hate the habit that holds us hostage. Stop for a moment. I want you to think, just right where you are. You don't need your husband or wife to help you with this. This is for you. I want you to give yourself 30 seconds just to stop and think of the one thing that's holding you hostage to not be consistently in the Word of God. I'm giving you 30 seconds. On your mark, get set, go. I'm not going to say another word after this for 30 seconds. Now, what are you going to do to change it? Well, I thought that was this the end of the exercise. I know what it is. So what? How stupid can you be? I gave you access in the middle of my sermon, the precious moments that I have, to resolve your psychological issue, and you're just going to throw away, I know what it is now. What you going to do about it? Your pitiful self. God bless your... Good night. Well, that was a great exercise. I really enjoyed that. I feel so special. I know what it is now. Duh. Before we can do what we love, we must know how to hate. 2 Samuel 19, verses 1 through 6. This is a poignant situation. And I think this will get to your hearts. If it doesn't, then there's no hope for you. And Joab was told, behold, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom. So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people. For the people heard it said that day, the king is grieved for his son. And the people stole back into the city that day, as the people who are ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried out with a loud voice, oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, oh, my son. Then Joab came into the house of the king. Joab's on it. And said, today you have disgraced all your servants who today have saved your life, the lives of your sons and your daughters, and the lives of your wives, and the lives of your concubines, on the last verse, in that you love your enemies and hate your friends. For you have declared today that you regard neither princes or servants, for today perceive that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died today, that then it would have pleased you well. David is crazy. Absalom did everything to try to dethrone him, try to get him killed, this other type of thing. And then finally Absalom gets killed and says, oh, Absalom, my son, Absalom, I wish it was me and not you. We are stupid. And so I love it. He calls him and he says, so we mean nothing to you. We've risked our lives for you. And you have the nerve and the gall to over absolutely. And here's the thing. We can get ourselves so emotionally attached to folks, to people that we know are toxic. We will defend them. We will lie for them. We will steal for them. They can do all kinds of things. Oh, I know he's really a bad boy, but I just can't help liking that bad boy. You are crazy. I know he's done all these terrible things, but you know, that's my son, and I got to stick with my son. You are out of your mind. We've got to learn. Before we can really love, we got to know who to hate. Now, some of you can say, you know, I really hate the devil. No, you don't. And sometimes you're in cahoots with him. Because the Lord has told you not to do a certain thing or not to go a certain place. And you say, oh, I really won't hurt. It's really no big deal. And besides, God will forgive me. Some of you subscribe to the philosophy, it's a lot easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. So you go ahead and do it. So God's going to forgive me because he knows that I just got this thing. I'm almost done, and I know you're happy. But consider this. Many people love things for what they believe they receive from them all the time, knowing, hating what it does to them. I will never look down my nose at a person who has had a drug addiction. Because I'm not addicted to a bottle doesn't mean that I'm not an addict. It could be media, you know, television, movies, whatever it happens to be, food. What? Don't be talking about food. I just like good gourmet. No, you're a pig. Hello. I'm going to move on, but I'll hit you again next week. You'll be all right. We must allow healthy hate to cleanse our heart to love God wholly. Last place I'm going to go. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23-27. I'm right on target here. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs issues of life. Put away from you all from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. In other words, check out where your feet are going. And let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Before you leave this auditorium, God's going to give you an opportunity to fulfill that scripture. It means this: protect your heart with holy decisions. Know the right place to hide in Jesus. Refrain from hiding your heart. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. Some of you are going to go shocked, like, whoa. Refrain your heart from hiding in addictions of TV, porn, internet, shopping on Amazon. Do I need to go the list further? And if you don't think there's a porn problem in the church, you've lost your mind. Your kids can dial up porn on their cell phone. But just because no one's seemingly tracking it, we think we can do all kinds of things. I won't get in that distraction for the moment. But here's what we need to do. We need to protect our heart. Protect our heart by allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. Find your reset button through the word of God's promise. Now, here's the scriptures that hopefully you'll write them down. If you don't have them, I think they're in the notes. That will help you giving the Lord your whole heart. Worship team, make your way up here. And I want you to go into your Bible. If you didn't bring your Bible with you today, the big test is next week. Bring your Bible. But giving the Lord your whole heart, Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 says this. Whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the Lord of God, God of peace, will be with you. I am giving you permission. Underline that in your Bible. I couldn't do that, Pastor. Why not? Then go buy one for $5 at the Welcome Center and underline it in that one. Underline that one. Next one is this. Luke chapter 12, verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You want to where your heart is? It's the things you treasure the most. And crazily enough, some of you treasure your job, your house, your car, your friends, your family, other things, more than you treasure the Lord. Last scripture, Proverbs 4:27. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. I want people to really begin to focus on something right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Well, the question I'm about to ask, it really encompasses two groups of people. But for the sake of courtesy, for those who've never accepted Jesus, because I've been talking about heart change, I want to give you preference. With heads bowed and with eyes closed, you came here today and you discovered, I need a change of heart. The habits and the attitudes that I've been battling in my spirit, whether it's an addiction or not, I want Jesus in the place of priority in my heart. I want to start my day every morning with him. I want to be forgiven for all the sins that I've committed. I want to turn my life over to him. And you may have strayed away from the Lord, but somehow the Holy Spirit's talking to you today, and this is your opportunity to turn your life around and get back in line with Jesus, or to come to him for the first time. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now and say, I need that. Lift it up high where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. Lift it up high. Leave it up there for a moment. We're going to make the devil real mad. Leave it up there just for a moment. You can put it down. And I expect to see about a half a dozen or more of you here for that thing, but there's other folks who are going to join you. For the next group of people, I'm going to say to you, that after hearing this message, you know right now that you need a change of heart, and you cannot make it or have not been able to make it. But the Holy Spirit is telling you that this is the day that you can make a change. The Holy Spirit is here, and you're ready to have a change of heart to follow Jesus with your whole heart. If that's you, lift your hand right now. Say, I need to change today. Lift it up high, because I want to see it. Praise God. Put your hands down. In a moment, we're going to stand to our feet, and the Holy Spirit is about to bring to reality and to bring you into the presence of God in such a way that, well, I feel God's presence in such a way that you never thought was possible. The devil has held many of you hostage, but right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name above every other name, I bind the works of Satan over your life. I bind the lies that you've been told. I bind all of the things, the habits that have held you hostage. I claim victory in the name of Jesus. That people who will come today will embark on a new journey of the Word of God that will take the final authority over their life. I cast out every evil imagination. I cast out all of the lies you've been told. That the Holy Spirit is going to change you today. In Jesus' name, stand to your feet. Those of you that raise your hand, make your way down here right now. Don't wait for anybody else. You make your way down here right now in the name of Jesus. Come now in Jesus' name. Come right 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 now in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You made a way. Made a way. That's right, come on. When my back. When my back was against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. So I'm standing here only because you made a way. You made a way. When my back against the wall and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. Still I'm standing here only because you made a way. Just hold that thought there for a moment. I need to talk directly to some people. The enemy is lying to you. And he's told you if you can just make it out those doors, it's going to be okay. That's not true. You'll be in the same predicament, being held hostage to old habits and old ways. We're going to sing that part. You move mountains, you caused walls to fall. And there's some mountains that need to be moved out of your way, out of your spirit, for you to respond to Jesus. And we're going to prophesy that over you as you come, because there's several people here, you need to come today. Because you may never feel like you're feeling right now. And I declare in the name of Jesus that you need to come and allow Jesus to do that. So you move mountains. Come on. You move mountains. That's right. Step out right now in Jesus' name. You cause walls to fall. Yield your power. That's right. Come on. Here we come. You know me. There is nothing. That's right, come on. Impossible. Still I'm standing here only because you move mountains, you move mountains. This is the last time. You cause your power. You are a miracle. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because. And we're standing here. And we're standing here only because. One more time. And we're standing here only because you made a way. Extend those hands up to the Lord right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you're a way maker. You're a miracle worker. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we continue in your word today. Some of us have made a covenant that we're going to read your word. We're going to get involved with Proverbs. We're going to get involved with just a new refreshing on the revitalization of your word, taking authority over our lives. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We give all glory and honor and praise to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.